How did we do this past week? I know we already heard of a couple people tripping up, Mr. Willoughby being one of them. I'm pretty sure I did pretty good. I didn't find anything yet. You know, that still is to be determined. But I do know of a couple people that did get tripped up. I'm not going to mention any names, but my daughter and her husband both messed up early in the week. One of them ate a whole chicken sandwich. Didn't realize it until they got home after work. Or I think it was on the drive home. Anyway. It's funny though that no matter how many times we keep these days, there are times when we all mess up, aren't there? It may not involve actually eating some leavening during the week, but maybe it's finding something that was overlooked when we were putting leavening out prior to the days of unleavened bread beginning. Or, worse yet, which is what I fear, finding something after these days have ended. And isn't that part of the lesson we are to learn by rehearsing these days every year, brethren? That leaven, that pictures sin, has a way of not only creeping back into our lives, but hiding, and hiding quite well. And we have to continually and constantly be on guard against it. We need to search for it and work hard to get it out of our lives once we recognize it. Now, I hope you don't fall into this category, but some year, because we do this year in and year out, some might come to the point where they ask, what is the point? Every year, I find leavening in sin. I know I do. It's there. It's always there. So why bother? Why keep trying? If we ever get to that point, there are only really two directions we can choose to go. The first is to come to the conclusion that it's just too hard and give up. I can't stress highly enough how this is not an option, brethren. Eternal life is on the line, our eternal lives. I know we know that, but there are times that when things can get really difficult, and if we're not careful, Satan can jump in and present this as a fairly attractive offer to some. Hopefully, as we go through the message today, we can all be reminded and encouraged there is a much better option. The second option, and the one I highly recommend, is to realize it's not possible on our own, but through Christ's sacrifice, which we just commemorated at the Passover last week, through that sacrifice he made for us and what it does for us, it is possible. We have to remember, brethren, we have to keep going. We just heard a sermon from Mr. Franks this past Sabbath. It did a great job of outlining how God's Holy Day plan and where it's taking us, the direction we need to be pointed in. But it's up to us to stay on that path and keep moving forward. These days of unleavened bread remind us of a standard that we are incapable of reaching by ourselves, as Mr. Duncan pointed out. We can't do it alone. Even as we try to put the sin out of our lives, we eventually have to come to the conclusion that we cannot do it on our own. Left to ourselves, if we are left without Christ living in us and through us, in most cases, we wouldn't even recognize what sin is. We'd have no idea that we need to put anything out of our lives or stop doing something or change a wrong behavior. And ultimately, we would one day face the penalty for that. Thankfully, though, we aren't on our own. Our first scripture today, this is one of the few that he didn't steal. Let's go back to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm sure we've all read most of these scriptures over the past several weeks as leading up to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. But as many have said, repetition is the best form of learning. And isn't it odd? Don't you think that's interesting that these days, the days of unleavened bread, are one of the 2 7-day festivals? 7 days. Put sin out. Keep sin out. Keep leaven out. Take in of unleavened bread. Repetition. God knows we needed this. Every year, it's a reminder. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ knows what we face every single day, brethren. He also knows how weak and frail we are. He came and lived a physical human life. He knows what we go through. He experienced it. We are reminded here that we can go to God anytime we need to and ask for help. We can also go to Him and ask for forgiveness. And they will. They will give us that help. They will give us that forgiveness. Let's go back to 1 John now. 1 John chapter 1. Take a look at a promise he makes here. 1 John chapter 1. We'll start in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What a wonderful promise we have just read. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He makes us clean again. And it's that promise that should always give us the encouragement to stay on this path, brethren. Let's keep going, even when we mess up. Another promise we have is that God the Father and Jesus Christ will never leave us. They will never forsake us. They will always be there. We are the ones that seem to have the problems. When we sin, we might feel embarrassed and, you know, may not immediately go to God asking for help just because we feel so bad. But that is exactly when we have to go to God. We have to take it to Him. They will forgive us. They will set us back on the right path and help us not do that again. So one of the main messages or lessons of Unleavened Bread is to keep going, to stay on this path that we've been set on. Baptism and Passover picture our start, our beginning of walking this path that God has set us on, called us to. But Unleavened Bread reminds us, stay on the path, keep going, and that God and Christ are here to help us every step of the way. If we do so, maybe next year we'll better recognize those little bits of physical leaven things that can get overlooked and trip us up every year. And just the physical act of removing leavening is to remind us to remove sin from our lives. Maybe, just maybe, we'll begin to recognize the sin that may have been overlooked and needs to be rooted out. It's interesting that in a lot of cases, God uses physical analogies to teach us spiritual lessons. And if you think about it for a second, He kind of has to, doesn't He? None of us are spiritual. We're not spirit yet. We're all physical. We learn lessons physically first. God is more concerned with our learning how to live righteously than He is with how we prepare our bread to eat. Still, God teaches us through the use of physical examples or analogies to drive home a point. By doing so, with God's help and His calling, we start to make the correlation to the fact that we need to be applying the physical lessons that we learn into our spiritual lives. If you go back and read through the Gospels when Christ was working with and teaching the disciples, this is exactly how He worked with them and taught them. He gave physical analogies and then clarified the spiritual lesson and how to apply it in their lives. It's quite interesting. We are taught through these days that leaven pictures sin, as we've mentioned, and we are to put it out of our lives. I'm not going to turn over there. Again, Mr. Duncan has already covered it. 1 Corinthians 5 teaches us and reminds us that unleavened bread, which we are to be partaking of during these days, pictures sincerity and truth, and that Christ is that unleavened bread of life. He lived an unleavened life without sin, and that we are to be taking in of that same unleavened bread every single day. That taking in of unleavened bread and living by it, by living by every word of God, it produces that life of sincerity and truth that God and Christ want to see in us. In this way, we learn to become more like God and Christ so that we can ultimately become full spiritual family members in God's family and shed this weak physical shell that we live in now when Christ returns. It's exciting to think about that during these days. And that's why we don't give up. That's why we bother. Unleavened bread reminds us of the bigger picture, much like every other holy day should remind us of that and the plan God has set in motion, not only for us, but for all of mankind. We must never forget that God wants us to live that life of sincerity and truth, honesty and integrity. We must hold on to what is genuine and true. During the self-examination process, we need to truly remove any facades that we've put up during the year. We need to really see ourselves as we truly are. And what are we? Well, I would submit we are all sinners that need saving. Every single one of us. If we don't believe that, we've already read. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We have to admit that to ourselves, brethren. Not only to ourselves, but more importantly, to God. For the simple reason that God does not like hypocrisy. Christ himself warned the disciples in his last hours to beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Have you ever considered that, you know, just in our day-to-day lives, it's nearly impossible to identify a true hypocrite? It's nearly impossible. Think about it. They play the part perfectly. They do the right things. They say the right things. But inside, they're a totally different person. They're just doing it to seek people's approval. But we know that that's not what God wants to see in us. In fact, let's go back and read that warning. Luke chapter 12, when Christ warned the disciples about this. Luke 12, very familiar. We've read it not too recently, or actually quite recently. Luke 12, we'll start in verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. As we move forward from these days of unleavened bread, brethren, we have to guard against letting hypocrisy slip into our lives. We must be living by sincerity and truth to be pleasing to God. We can't begin to think that we are fooling people with the way we are living. We can't just think we can go through the motions and people will think I'm a Christian. Well, we might actually fool some people, but you can never fool God. He is different. We are reminded in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, which we will be turning back there, when God sent Samuel to anoint David, the next king of Israel. Samuel, in this process, thought he had discerned who God had chosen. But we see here that he was quickly corrected in his assumption. We'll start in verse 7. He had already picked the wrong man and thought he had identified who it was. And verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God knows our hearts, brethren. We all know this. He knows our every thought, our every intention. Thankfully, he's a loving, he's a patient God. And he understands our weaknesses and frailties. All that's required of us is to be honest with ourselves about it. He knows. We can't hide anything. So we can't let that hypocrisy creep in. We have to ask God to let us see ourselves as he sees us. That way we can truly start to get the sin out of our lives. A bit of warning here, though, if you haven't done this in a while, asked God to show me how you see me. It's usually not a pretty picture. But at the same time, God in his love and mercy will show us. in a loving and merciful way. And he promises to be there to help us root out whatever sin we may find hiding. The important part here is that we have to want to get the sin out of our lives. We have to want to live in a way that is pleasing to God. We must also be willing to put in the effort to do so. If we truly, truly want that, God will be there to patiently work with us as we try to get the sin out of our lives. Let's turn back to 2 Chronicles. Very familiar scripture to most. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. It's a very familiar scripture to most of us, but it's also great to be reminded of the promises that God makes to us. 2 Chronicles 7, we'll start reading in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and forgive their sin, and will hear of their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Brethren, if we are looking for the sin and taking it to God to seek his forgiveness, he promises right here to hear us and to forgive us. Don't forget, though, we have a part to play. We need to humble ourselves and go to him in prayer. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to work to put that sin out. We can't just continue in that same behavior and think, he's going to forgive me again next time. It doesn't work that way. He wants to see us working to put that sin out of our lives. There are so many other scriptures we could turn to read here, but I'm just going to mention a few. You can jot them down in your notes if you want, but they basically communicate a similar sentiment. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 9. Acts 3, verse 19. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Those are just a few. There's many, many more. God wants us to never forget that, brethren. It's the reason why we rehearse these holy days every year, so that we don't forget, that we're reminded. God knows what we go through and how easy it is for us to get distracted and discouraged. He knows and wants us to remember every single year. Again, 7 days, put the sin out, put the leaven out. Take in of that bread of righteousness. Take in of Christ. 7 days. Only the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days long outside of this feast. You would think, God knows, we need that repetition to remember, to keep going. But the Feast of Unleavened Bread is also a time to concentrate on putting on that righteousness of Christ, which is the true bread of life, into our lives. We do that by eating that of that bread, by reading his word and learning from it. The more we do that, the more sin will be kept out. To overcome sin, we must not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You can find that in Romans 12, verse 21. In other words, the more Christ is living in us, and the more we are living righteously by eating of the word, the less opportunity there will be for the leaven of sin to find a place in our lives. Living by or eating fully of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is the key to purging out the old leaven of sin. That is the primary reason we are commanded to observe these days, primary lesson we are to take away and remember. We also have to remember, and here's the fun part, this doesn't end at sunset. The days of unleavened bread are over, but no, this is how we are supposed to be living every single day. These days remind us of that. As we start to tie all this together and wrap it up, let's turn over and consider something back in Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 12 this time. Again, very familiar scripture. Have you ever asked yourself what it is that Christ saw in us, in you, in me, that caused him to make the sacrifice that he did? I know when I look at myself, I don't see anything deserving of that. Have you ever considered this? Hebrews 12. We're going to break in the middle of verse 2 here for now. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's ask ourselves a question. What exactly was the joy that was set before him? I would imagine it would be something pretty incredible. But what? Have you ever thought about that? He already had eternal life. He was sitting right there at God's right hand on his throne. I mean, what more joy could you possibly have? I submit to you, brethren, that it was you and me. In fact, it was every human being that has ever lived and that will ever live. We are all that joy that was set before him. God the Father and Jesus Christ love mankind so much, they set this whole plan in motion to expand their family before the foundations of this world were even laid. It's just amazing to think about. They want everyone to become a member of the family of God. We simply, I don't think, have the true ability to comprehend what that kind of love is like. We get glimpses. We experience it directly, yet I don't think we can truly comprehend what that is like. But we have to learn to love and understand the love of God and learn to love just like he does. How do we do that? I submit we can't until we are full members of the family of God, but we need to be working and striving to try and learn it now. The Passover commemorates and reminds us of the sacrifice Christ made for us. Again, he showed us that love through the voluntary sacrifice that he made for us. And these days of unleavened bread remind us, we are not done yet, brethren. There is, and always will be, sin to root out until we are given that crown of glory if we don't give up. There will be righteousness to develop. There will be fruits of the Spirit to develop and grow along the way. In other words, there's still work to do. We can't just breathe a sigh of relief and think, that's it, we're done, we've made it. Nope, still got work to do. It's not going to be easy as times get tougher and tougher in this world. It's going to get harder and harder. This is Satan's world, and he wants to do everything and anything he can to disrupt God's plan. Part of that is distracting us, getting us to fall away, if possible, to sin, to break God's law, to give up. We can't. Remember, the only way we can do it is with Christ's help. Never get to the point where you think this is too hard, that you want to give up. A moment ago, we read half a sentence in Hebrews 12 here. Let's go back and pick up the full sentence and the context. We're going to start in verse 1. Starting in verse 1 ties the themes of unleavened bread and Passover together perfectly, but it also gives us our marching orders as we move forward from these days. Again, very familiar scriptures, but we're going to close with this, brethren. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God.